praise your name, Lord, your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. You crushed Rahab like the one of the slain. With your strong arm, you scattered your enemies. The heavens are yours, and yours also is the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. You created the north and the south. Tabor and Hermon sing for joy at your name. Your arm is endowed with power. Your hand is strong. Your right hand exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acknowledge you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They celebrate your righteousness, for you are their glory and strength. And by your favor, you exalt your horn. Thank you, Jesus. Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight? Then praise him. Do you want to have heaven on earth? The only heaven on earth is when we praise him, because that's what you're going to be doing in heaven. You know, the people of God are people of praise and worship. Throughout the Bible, there have been. The people of Israel were praising God humongously. If you've been in the Jerusalem during the Passover, it would have blown your mind of how they praised the Lord. Millions gathered throughout the nation in that time to worship with loud shouts. The temple was packed with fervent worshipers who praised God. It's awesome to read the accounts of that time, how people were just praising. When Jesus was entering Jerusalem on a donkey, people went mad, and Pharisees tried to stop the people from praising, and Jesus said they can't be stopped, for this is not from men, this is from above. If they stopped, the rocks would start praising me. God brings up his worshippers because he's worthy of praise. If you want to rule in life, if you want to rule tonight, praise Jesus and something will happen to you. If you want to defeat Satan, praise Jesus. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, like I was when I was 5 years old, I praised Jesus and that's all I did. I was filled with the Holy Spirit that changed my life. Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Shall we praise Jesus? Praise is loud. Praise is jumpy. Praise is proclaiming God's goodness. Praise is coming above your circumstance and saying who God is, just like that psalm was. Shall we praise the Lord? Amen. Let's do it.
Good evening, everyone. I just have a couple of announcements to share. And the first one is if we have an alpha course that's starting on the 21st of September, which if you're here for the first time and you don't really know God and you don't have a relationship with him yet, it's an awesome course to do because you can find out a little bit more about who God is and what we're all doing worshiping him. You can come and ask all of your questions. And there'll be a small group of people you can chat to about it who can help answer your questions or help you kind of think about them a bit more. So if you're interested in that, then come see us in the Connect team, and we'll be at that table just back closest to the door at the end. And if you are here for the first time, then just come say hello as well, even if you don't want to sign up for the Alpha course. We'd love to meet you and let you know a bit more about what we're doing. And in 3 weeks... will be the last Sunday night service before the summer. So we'll take a break for 6 weeks. But then we'll be back and doing the same thing again in September. The services will look very similarly, but they'll be awesome. And I really encourage you that even if there's a break, to come back and keep coming to them. And it's an opportunity as well to maybe invite people along to that first Sunday back in September. Yeah, that's all. Sorry.
Yay! Right, now we're going to have a very special testimony. I'll give you a few hints. She is loved by everyone, everyone's best friend, loved and feared by everyone. No, just loved. She's got friends from all age groups, pretty much, best friends from all age groups. And she is famous for her curries. I'll give you one guess.
Lily!
Lily, come on! We love you, Lily. There you go.
Hello, everyone. If you don't know me, I'm Lily Zahir. I'd just like to tell you about my testimony. I came here in 1976 from Bangladesh, from a Muslim background, so I was originally a Muslim. I was brought up in South Bank, one of the roughest areas of the UK. And it was quite tough, but it was like tough with my parents because we came from, you know, the Muslim background. We couldn't do much. We couldn't go out. And I was sort of like confused when I came here. And I thought, well, you know, we can't go out. We can't do this. We couldn't have English friends and all the, you know, all the rest of it. And we felt quite isolated. And so we were brought up, like, my parents sort of didn't know their religion, really, and started questioning about, you know, the everything. And, you know, I did have, like, quite a difficult upbringing with my father being violent and things like that. So, you know, I asked lots of questions. And so I used to send us, all my brothers and sisters, to the mosque about 3 times a week in Bengali classes. So we were, like, constantly busy. So we used to go to the mosque but I just felt like we were learning the Quran, and my sister learned it about 15 times, and we thought, well, we came back, we thought we're not learning anything, and we didn't feel loved at home, and, you know, I spent looking after my family all these years, and I thought, what's life all about, you know, and why are we learning the Quran? I don't even understand it. It was in Arabic. Although we read Arabic, we just couldn't understand it. And I didn't agree with the Maulvis. They used to hit you with a stick and all sorts. So it questioned me again and everything else. Anyway, and then when I was about 11, I went to secondary school. And in those days, we were given a Gideon's Testament, a little pocket testament. So when I brought it home, well, I started reading it and I thought, how come this is so different? This is like speaks of love and it's peaceful. And then... Anyway, during the week, I used to go to the mosque and then come home and read the, you know, Testament. And I thought, I'm learning more out of the Testament than I am with, you know, the mosque. So anyway, I had split personalities all the way through my teenage life. And I thought, I don't know. And I had all these Christians around me. You might know one of them. He was called Lee Burrows and he had a big influence in our lives. And, you know, and I used to call him the Bible basher. And I used to work for the council, and I did a polling clerk job. And then I had, the clerk there, he was a Christian trying to shove the Bible books down my throat. I thought, oh, what's going on here? And I felt like God was telling me, you know, I want you to come to me. But I was like, I thought my parents are Muslim, and community were funny, and then they were hypocritical. So again, I start questioning everything and asking. But one of the things, when they used to criticize me, I used to say, you know, in the Bible it says, do not judge, for you'll not be judged. And that really helped me. So I used to not judge people out there. And I thought, why are they judging me, you know? And so I just, like, just carried on and reading the New Testament. And then I did Christianity at school. That was another thing. I think God was trying to put the gospel input in me. And then all the way through, like all these problems I was having, I said, why am I having all these millions of problems? I had about 3 car accidents, about 5-6 operations, and then I got forced to go to Bangladesh, and I got forced to get married. My dad was like, we weren't talking to each other, and he just wanted me out of the way, basically. And so I got, like, stuck there 5.5 months, and it was hot, you know, it was awful. But I felt like Satan didn't want me to come to know Jesus, and I think he just wanted me out of the way. So everything I was doing, there was some agenda behind it. Anyway, my work was really good and kept the job open. And I came back, and then I just left home and everything. But to cut a long story short, I got married again because I got divorced. And then we moved, and I moved near Linthorpe, and I moved near St. Barnabas Church. And I felt everything was to do with God. He planned this. He made me move there because I received an Alpha leaflet. And I thought, you know, because I went to all these courses and things, and I thought I want to find out about life and question everything. And so I was gathering bits and pieces, and I think God was showing me bits and pieces. But when I received the Alpha, I thought, oh, this seems interesting. You know, who is Jesus and more about Jesus. So I went on the course, and I took my friends with me. And then I said, that's it. You know, this is it. Everything makes sense to me, you know. And then the Holy Spirit day, I just gave my life to Jesus, you know. And I said, that's it. I found home. I found God. And just before that, I did have a dream about Jesus. You know, he was, I could see Jesus, and he was like calling me. And that was saying just before that, you know, I want you to come to me, you know, you're safe with me. And that was so comforting. It's like, came to know Jesus, and I gave my life to him, and then a few years later I got baptized, and God has changed my life so much. And I think without God, I'd be in St. Luke's. I wouldn't be here today. You know, everything that I've done is because of Jesus, because of God. And you know, I love Jesus so much, and everything I live for is Jesus. And I feel that is the truth. When Jesus said, the truth will set you free, and I'm set free. So I'm just praying that my family will come, although they don't agree with it. And I'm constantly still getting attacked and battling with it. But there's only one direction for me, and that's Jesus.
Well done, Lily. Thank you. That was awesome.
Yeah, you can stop it there. Thanks, guys. Could learn a thing or two from the ants, couldn't we? It's like us, isn't it, sometimes? We sort of always or very often can be just interested in us, what's going on with me, what's happening in my life, me, this, that. And we often fail to recognize that there's something much bigger going on around us all. There's a much bigger picture, there's a much bigger plan. And if we just sort of raise up and see it from God's perspective, take our eyes off ourselves, and we'll see the kingdom, the colony, the kingdom of heaven, God's church, which is what it's all about, isn't it? Building God's church. And that's what the talk is tonight, is why church? And, you know, first of all, I'm sure you know that the church is just the people. Church is me and you. A young man went up to John Wimber once, a member of his congregation, and he went up to him and said, there's this bloke and he's in massive need. You know, he needs a place to stay. He needs feeding, he needs clothes until he can get a job and get back on his feet. And, you know, I've tried ringing the church office. I've tried getting through. I've tried. Nobody can help me. Finally, I had to let him stay with me for the week. And John Wimber thought for a moment and said, sounds like the church is doing something about it. The church is just the people. And more so than that, it's the people where we're gathered together. The word church just means gathering of people or an assembly, where the believers, where brothers and sisters come together who believe in Jesus, where we come together like this to worship God. That's the church, the gathering of people. And you know what? It's impossible to come together as a people, as a church, like this, in Jesus' name, and not to meet God, and not to be touched by him, and have everything change like we were singing about before. One touch from God can change everything. One touch from God is all we need. And you know, throughout the Old Testament and in the Bible and stuff, where there was sacrifice, the fire fell. And when you give up a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening like this, well done for coming, missing the football. I'm glad England weren't playing. Where you sacrifice something for Jesus, for the church to come together in his name. The fire of God can fall on your life. You can meet God and be touched by him in a way that you really can't when you stay at home.
Yes, you can be with the Lord at home. Yes, he's everywhere. Yes, he's all around you. But when you sacrifice something, when you come together like this, something can happen in your life. The fire of God can fall upon you and do something amazing. Do you believe that tonight? It's so easy, isn't it, sometimes to just be going through the motions. Oh, it's another service, another service. And we come and we can, if we're not careful, get just repetitive and going through the motions and coming with no faith. Whereas really, the fire of God wants to fall upon you tonight. So what is it that you want? What is it that you need? You know, it's, you know, God loves his church. Jesus Christ loves the church. He loves people. And he loves when the people are gathered together in his name. He absolutely loves you. He loves us. He loves it when we come together like this. And all the other churches throughout the world. Jesus died and shed his blood for the church. So that we could come together like this and worship him. He died for us as individuals, but also collectively. So we can come together in his name and be blessed and meet him. But you know, what else? What other reasons? There's many, many reasons. But why else, on a sort of practical level, would you bother? You know, could be watching a football now. Why are you here? You know. Not just tonight, but why do you keep coming? Why do some people stop? And some people just keep coming. Well, there's many reasons, and these just a couple for tonight. One reason is for your growth and my growth. Coming to church like this, gathering together in Jesus' name with a body of brothers and sisters, is awesome for your growth spiritually. I used to go to the gym many years ago, and I don't go anymore, but I used to go for the season of just going all the time. You know, I used to love it. I used to sort of get my tightest vest on, you know, and go to the gym, make my way down there, and absolutely used to love it, you know, and walk in the doors and getting all pumped up. As I'm walking up the stairs towards the gym doors, the music's getting louder and louder. And I'm like that, yeah. You walk through the doors, yeah. And you sort of look around and see some people and they're massive. You think, oh, I'm not going to go over near there. Make me look a little bit small. And you think, look around for someone a bit smaller, you know, so I'll look a bit better. You sort of look and you see someone else who's a bit smaller than you. And you think, yeah, I feel a bit better about myself now, you know. You know, what is it today? Look on your list. Oh, I'm doing arms today, biceps. Yes, I'm doing biceps. That's great. I love biceps. You walk towards where the dumbbells are. See yourself in the mirror. Looking good. You go towards where the dumbbells are and you pick them up. Some of the small ones and some of the big ones. And you know, you think, a few people watching. I want to pick up the biggest ones. As light as possible, but just so you go for the rubber ones, you know, the massive ones, but they're not actually that heavy. You stand in the mirror and oh, I best do the other arm now. So you go, and you do a few other exercises, and you go home, and it hurts, and you know, there's lots of other exercise machines there that you could have went on, you know, and you go home, and your muscles have tore, and it hurts, but what happens is that they grow. Muscles grow when you use the exercise machines. You know, the church is like this. Only the exercise machines that God uses is the people. You can grow in church in a way that is impossible to grow spiritually on your own. Many people get hurt, they give up on church, they leave church, they don't grow. They're still people, they're still saved, they're still believers, but there's no way they're going to grow. It's impossible because God uses people. He uses us to help one another. It's his work. And you know, have you ever wondered why, you know, you come to a church or churches that you've been to or ever in the past that you think, why is it that I always end up near somebody like that? Or why did I come to that church at that particular point when that particular person was there going through that particular thing which really affected me. Why is that? It's not by accident. Nothing's by accident. Everything's an opportunity from God for your growth and my growth. You know, people come into contact with this kind of stuff and, wah, hurts a bit. Maybe try a different church. Okay, go to a different church. Oh, I can't be dealing with that. Not ready for that. That person doesn't matter. And I always end up with somebody like that, with that sort of people. Go to a different church. Fresh start. Woohoo! Oh, exactly the same thing. Shocker. Well done for, you know, going to a different church and sticking with the church. You're not going to get away from God if you stick with the church. You know that. And it's the Lord, that specific exercise machine for that specific person at that perfect time for exactly what you need then. I can imagine the Lord looking down on his church, thinking, oh, this person, they need to build their leg muscles, so I'm going to give them a nudge towards where the leg machines are, you know. We're totally unaware of it, you and I. We don't have a clue. It's all orchestrated by the Lord, absolutely wonderfully. But as long as you stay with the church, you'll be okay. You'll grow. You will grow. Stay with the church. People often don't like it. Oh, you know why it's too heavy. I'm going home. I've had enough. I'm not that interested, really, in growing. I'll just listen to some podcasts by myself. And great, you know. But you will not grow outside of the church because Jesus loves to use you and me. He uses people. He loves to use people. You know, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he didn't do everything by himself. He used the people around him. Yeah, you, move the stone. You want me to move the stone? Are you sure you don't want to do it, Jesus? No, you move the stone. Oh, I can be a part of this. And Jesus has the ultimate authority. Lazarus, come out. Bang! Raises the dead. Woof. It's exactly what it does with us. Saves us. Raises us from the dead spiritually. We come to life. Boom! Dressed as a mummy. And then again, Jesus says, you unwrap him. You not want to unwrap him, Jesus. No. You unwrap him. It's interesting, isn't it, how he uses people. An area of your own healing of the heart is an area of growth. And I was speaking to an old man recently, 94, I think he is. Absolutely awesome man. He's been doing inner healing ministry, pastoral care for decades. And he said to me, I've never, ever, once known anybody healed and set free in their heart on their own. God always uses the people. Church is good for your growth. Don't give up on the church. You know, when you see like a pebble beach with hundreds of thousands of like awesome, beautiful, smooth pebbles, they're not just like that. They're not just appear that way. They start off as stones, just a bit rough around the edges, a bit rocky. And what happens is over time, the wave crashes over all the stones and they bump into each other. And a bit gets knocked off here, and a bit gets knocked off there. And they've just changed a bit. They've been shaped a bit and grown a bit, really. And then again, another wave. A bit more knocked off. The waves keep coming. Ouch. Another one. A bit more knocked off, a bit more chipped off, a bit more shaped, a bit more refined, a bit more grown to be what it's supposed to be. If the stone was on its own, yeah, it'd have some fun. Woohoo! Enjoy the waves, man! Yeah! Woohoo! Still a stone, it's always going to be. But when it's around other stones, see how the Holy Spirit uses each other. Exactly like it is in the church. Exactly. As long as you're in, coming to church, in the church, with other believers, sticking with it, refusing anything else, resisting the devil's lies, no matter how hard it might be. The Lord's here, woohoo! Ooh, wasn't expecting that. It's exactly how he does it. And over time, it becomes beautiful Pebble Beach, which is God's church. God looks upon it, he loves it. And then when he wants to use one of us, he's just got such awesome choice. Oh, I'd love to skim a stone. Which pebble would I like to use today? I have a choice of many. It's exactly like the church. You know, the Apostle Peter says, you, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. So stick with the church. It's good for your growth. And nothing's by accident. People, situations, circumstances, things that are said, things that are heard, blah, 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 totally unawares to us. God's using everything. He's in everything. Never forget that, you know. Any hardship, any, whoa, you this, that, everything God's in. You can see it as, oh, huffing a puffing a, you know, that person, this person, them. You can see it like that if you like, but it's not very, very much fun. Or you can see it as an opportunity from the Lord, like a chariot from God come down to you, parked up next to you. Would you like in? I can take you up. I can grow you massively if you just jump in my chariot. You can ride this high up the mountain. Or you can huff and puff you up yourself. Seeing them as opportunities massively help with persevering. It's awesome for your growth. Why church? Secondly, for encouragement. You know, bad company corrupts good character. And the other day I was sat on the sofa and I was sort of like blowing my nose. Like, pretty gross, I know. Don't worry, I'll clean this microphone after. And then I just heard next to me, to the left of me, I heard this noise. I thought, what the heck's that? And I looked over to the left of me, and there's my little one-year-old boy like this. Do the noise with his mouth. With his finger in his nose like that. I thought, no, your mum's gonna kill me. No, 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 no. Trying to pull his hand away. No, 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 no. He's like that. So, oh, you know, he's just totally innocent, but he started picking his nose and blowing his nose. Oh, like that. Not very nice because, you know, he's learned from bad company. But, you know, the opposite is true as well, obviously, you know. And, you know, the writer to the Hebrews says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. When we're together, we encourage one another. We should. If you don't encourage others, then I encourage you to encourage others and receive encouragement as well for yourself. There's a true story of a young man once who was struggling with the church, and he went to see a wise old guy, and he sat down by a coal fire. The wise old guy didn't say anything whatsoever. He just took a pair of tongs and pulled out one piece of coal and put it on the floor. Not a word said. And left it there. And surely enough, obviously enough, after a couple of minutes, that piece of coal just lost its fire, lost its colour, just went out. Still a piece of coal, though. Doesn't, you know, doesn't change. But it lost its glow. And then after a couple of minutes, he picked up the piece of coal again and put it back in the fire. Ooh, surprise, surprise, began to glow again. It's exactly like us. If we end up on our own, we lose our glow. We lose our fire, because we encourage one another. Even if we don't even realize it, being together encourages us. Being together with other believers massively encourages us. And encourage one another as well more, you know. And receive encouragement for yourself. Many people often find it hard to receive encouragement. But if someone encourages you, blesses you, then just receive it, you know. And you don't have to do a great deal just to sort of step back on fire again. You just have to be there in the right place. Be a piece of coal, be in the right place and be encouraged. And receive encouragement, encourage others. Another reason is to bless other people. You know, coming to church. Why come to church? Well, to bless others. An awesome opportunity to bless brothers and sisters in the church. Galatians 6:10 says, let us do good to all people, especially to those in the family of believers. I remember a year or two ago, I was preparing a sermon. I was preparing a preach, one point on this particular verse, and the Holy Spirit started to reveal this to me in my life. I wasn't really living this way, and I used to get my hair cut by just a random barber's in Ingleby, Barwick, and always been there, I'd always done it. It was what I knew. Didn't want to change, really. You know, we love what we know, don't we? And I thought, yeah, I'll just keep going there, get my hair cut. And I was sort of pondering this passage, really, and preparing it. And I got there, and the barber's arm was broke. Huh? I got there, I was waiting outside in the freezing cold for about 20 minutes, and some woman came out, and she said, the guy's broke his arm, he won't be in for about a week. I thought, oh, all right, okay. I realised that Sam Ruddock cuts hair. But I just hadn't thought of it. I just wanted to stick with what I knew. And I thought, maybe the Lord's in this somehow. Maybe. Hadn't quite grabbed hold of it yet fully. I thought, right, okay. Maybe I'll see Sam. Maybe this is the Lord trying to say something to me. Anyway, in the same couple of week period, our house was getting the damp proof was getting done. It was getting totally redone downstairs. The carpets were off. The skirting boards were off. And we'd booked the skirting board guy to come and fix them back on. And then the next day, the carpets were going to get refitted. I thought, okay, fine. And the landlord had booked a random joiner. But I realised that Carl does awesome joinery. Carl's handyman services. But I just hadn't thought to mention him to the landlord. Nothing bad in my heart, I just hadn't thought. I hadn't fully grasped this yet. Funnily enough, the guy who was going to come and fit the skirting boards just had problem after problem after problem. His engine on his car was broke. Then his tools were broke. And day after day after day, it was just delay, 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 delay. I thought, got to the point where it'd been about a week. We could have been back in our house, you know. I thought, I think maybe the Lord's trying to say something here. And what I did, me and Esther were out having dinner, lunch at the time, and I said, okay, I'm going to pray about this because I think this is God trying to say something. So I just very quickly just prayed. I said, Lord, I'm sorry for not thinking of other brothers and sisters, not thinking of other believers, not mentioning them to bless them. I've really learned something here. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, you would just help me now. Pray that this guy would get the skirting board sorted so we can move back in the house. In Jesus' name, amen. Within 2 minutes, my phone rang. Ring! It was the joiner. He said, everything's sorted, buddy. You'll be around in a couple of hours. I thought, huh? Put the phone down. Thought, my goodness. You know, the Holy Spirit really helps us to live according to his word, doesn't he? And, you know, the guy came and he fitted the skirting boards and they were all right. You know, to be honest, you know, Carl would have done a better job. And I've been getting my hair cut with Sam ever since. Never looked so good. Nobody can. But you know what? We come to church to bless others. We have the opportunity to bless our brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God. And I'd encourage you to do the same. You know, to think of others. To think of others for work, to bless them however you can. And lastly, to serve. We come to church to serve. Hebrews says, the Lord will not forget your work and the love you've shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. And there's an awesome book I've just read called By Life or by Death by Winfried Wendland, member of the CFAN team. I'm sure you've heard of Reinhard Bonnke and Christ for All Nations and all this. But this guy, he's on their team. He's the truck driver. Absolutely awesome book. The second half of it, especially where he starts getting into the CFAN stuff, he's driving around Africa, he's captured by child soldiers, he's in the middle of firefights, he's like, one time he's in his cab, and he sinks into the river, and he sinks to the bottom of his cab, and he's drowning, you know, he manages to get the key out and swim to the surface, he goes through all these massive hardships, hardship after hardship, he sets up all the equipment when he gets there, Reinhard preaches the gospel, flies home, this guy takes it all down, puts it in his truck, drives somewhere else. He's on the road for months and months at a time. And just a servant, you know. Awesome servant in the house of the Lord. I just want to read you just one little bit from this book. After six
night of preaching. This is at one of the crusades where he drove to and he'd set up and all the rest, going through hell and high water to get there. After 6 nights of preaching, Gabby and I, his wife, will never forget the night of the final sermon. We stood at the back of the platform, holding one another in a silent embrace as we looked out over a sea of 1.6 million faces, listening in rapt attention to the message of God's love for the world. We were stunned to silence by the magnitude of it all. Truly, a supernatural harvest exceeds the ability of the human heart to express its significance. We watched, wiped our eyes, shook our heads, and simply had no words. At the invitation, the net was cast, and 1,093,000 hands were raised. Is that awesome? And he says on a little bit later, because we had been obedient to his call in the small things, we were ready for the supernatural harvest. So shall we be ready as well? Shall we serve wherever needed in the church for the bigger picture and take our eyes off ourselves and think and see the big picture, see the kingdom of God, see his church and serve wherever we can? Shall we stand together and pray? Thank you, Lord, for your church. Thank you, Jesus, that you absolutely love your church. And Holy Spirit, I just pray right now that you would come and touch each and every one of us here. Thank you, Lord, that we're all like living stones, being washed over by you, Holy Spirit. I pray that we wouldn't give up on your church, that we would continue to meet together, that we would see your hand in everything and ride these chariots, Lord, when they come. We'll ride these opportunities for growth for us rather than just sort of trying to do it ourselves or getting upset or whinging about anything and not miss these opportunities, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you absolutely love us. You absolutely love your stones, but you love us too much to leave us as stones. You want to change us and shape us and grow us to be more like you, to be smooth, to be able to be effectively used by you, Lord. Why don't we just close our eyes for a second and just think. Picture the Holy Spirit. Think of the Holy Spirit now. Just fix your eyes on him. Fix your eyes on Jesus. I wonder what it is that you've been struggling with, that you find hard. And choose right now where you are to see that as an opportunity from the living God to grow you more. There's no accidents in the kingdom of heaven. And maybe you need to repent of something, you know, or forgive somebody. As I say, we don't even understand what part we're playing in this bigger picture. We're just there on the beach in the presence of God, and he's doing it all. Thank you, Lord. Just keep receiving from the Holy Spirit.
Awesome. We're going to have just a time of fellowship now. Feel free to use that time for prayer. If you want to catch on one of the leaders or want to pray with each other, you can do that to meet the God if you want. So, well done everyone for coming. Be blessed.